I need you to give me your full attention tonight, friends, as I bring this message before you. This sermon is a call to the unconverted, and it comes with a solemn warning. Like we say in the South, tonight I'm going to give you the oil straight from the can as I preach an undiluted gospel of the cross. I'm going to preach a bloodstained Christ tonight who has power to save. This message will be to you, friends, one of two things as it comes with Holy Spirit conviction. It'll either be to you a thunderclap to awaken you to your lost condition, or it will fall on you like a searing iron to harden you in your sins. It'll be to some of you life unto life, and others death unto death. We're living in the last days, friends, right before the appearance of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the land. We're going to be talking tonight, friends, about heaven, hell, and eternity. There are only two categories of people in the world at this very moment. I'm not talking about the rich and the poor. I'm not talking about the famous and the unknown. I'm not talking about the powerful or the meek. I'm talking about two people. You're either saved and regenerate and on your way to heaven, or you are unsaved, unregenerate, and on your way to hell. You can be a baptized, religious, lost person and drop into hell from a church pew. You either have had a work of grace performed upon your heart by the Spirit of God, or you are yet unregenerate in your sins. Listen to me. Hear me now. I'm going to give it to you plain, big and straight, friends. You are one of two classes. I'm going to be honest with your souls tonight. Either you are regenerate or unregenerate. Being a good church member won't get you into heaven. Being baptized won't help you either. Being a good person won't get you to heaven. Being a deacon or an elder won't get you into heaven. Being a minister or an evangelist won't get you into heaven either, friend. We live in a day of an unconverted ministry, and we live in a day of unconverted congregations. There are many sitting in churches this week who are lined up for hell. Only the regenerate go to heaven. You must undergo a change upon your heart, performed by the Spirit of God in a work of grace. Just being religious won't get you into heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees found that out after they crucified the Son of Glory. You tell a religious lost man he's going to hell, and you have a fight on your hands. I've had deacons confront me in a sanctuary of a church with fire in their eyes, hatred in their voice, when I told them, you must repent, will you surely go to hell? I repeat, this message will either come to you tonight, friends. Hear me now. He'll come to you tonight as a thunderclap to awaken you to your danger of dying in your sins, or it will come to you as a hot iron that will sear your conscience like a searing iron and harden you in your sins until death chases you out of this world into another world you're quite unprepared for. George Whitefield, the great British evangelist, would pour his heart out to his hearers. He would stand before them, stomp his feet, shout to the heavens, throw back his head with warnings to his audience that he must be born again. He would cry out, if you won't weep for your sins, I will weep for you. And he would throw his head back, cry like a baby over their lost estate. Whitefield didn't want his hearers to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell, friends. I weep over you now. Listen, You know, there's a good number of you within the sound of my voice. You're yet an unregenerate individual. And if you turn now to God and repent and seek pardon for your sins in a bloodstained Savior, you'll perish in your sins. Be chased out of this world. We see the fate of the wicked in the book of Job. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Hell is a place of darkness, friend. Jesus says it's a place of outer darkness. The darkness of hell is so thick, overpowering, it'll drive you to almost madness. All you can do is sit there in chains in hell and wail and shriek in that darkness as you sit there with the damned all around you. Very few are really saved today because very few preach the real gospel, the great doctrines of ruin, redemption, repentance, and regeneration are seldom heard anymore. All we hear is an easy-to-believe gospel that says, just accept Jesus, friend, and you'll go to heaven. But a man must know he is lost before he can be saved. A sinner must feel his need of a Savior for sin, of a remedy for sin, before he will apply it through faith in Christ Jesus. When God shows up in his manifest presence with the disturbing presence of Christ, we get a sense of this from Job. Therefore, I am troubled at his presence when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. That's what some of you need tonight, friends. You need to be troubled by the disturbing presence of Christ. You need conviction of sin. You're sitting on a rotten foundation of a rotten faith, of a self-righteousness. You're sitting on your good works and your good reputation, thinking that's going to get you to heaven, because the great mass of mankind living in this planet right now will perish in their sins and be cast into hellfire. All of the world's religions that know not Christ, all of a God-hating society, will perish as the antediluvians did in the days of Noah, who refused to heed the warnings. But modern evangelism today has no warnings. It's broadened the way of salvation in ways Jesus never did. We make it easy for people to walk now to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. But that man-centered methodology isn't even in my Bible. In Matthew's Gospel, we hear Jesus speak of the difficulty of salvation. Listen, friends, he says there must be a striving to get in. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That means few in society will find salvation in Christ Jesus. That means few in the church will actually be saved. The great majority of church membership today is still in their sins, unregenerate in their heart, religiously lost, and on their way to a devil's hell. It's almost impossible to be saved today in the climate of the churches today that fail to preach the biblical gospel of the Son of God. Standing, it breaks my heart to say it, standing in our pulpits are teachers instead of preachers, entertainers instead of prophets, CEOs instead of men filled with the Holy Ghost. A large Baptist megachurch recently hired a pastor who had no previous pastoral experience. All he was a businessman. He knew how to run a corporation. He was hired to run that big enterprise, which they call a church. That's the shape we're in today, friends. That's the spiritual declension we face today within our apostate denominations. How can a sinner get saved in a corporate atmosphere of sin and the devil, where the true gospel is not even proclaimed? A bloody cross is not even held up. We have taken all the hymns out of the church that speak about the blood. We've taken the blood out of the gospel. We have unrepentant and unregenerate congregations today because they're led by an unconverted ministry. This explains Jesus' words when he said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Is that you, friend? Do you work iniquity and still call yourself a Christian? Do you pursue holiness unto God, or do you pursue the pleasures of this world? If you have no desire for a life of holiness, how do you know you are really saved? The Spirit of God must implant in you, through the new birth, a new disposition for godliness. You're either godly or ungodly. You can't call yourself godly and still hang on to your filthy sins. An ungodly person is an unregenerate person. All unregenerate persons go to hell when they die. But the world thinks otherwise. The world thinks everybody goes to heaven. As long as you're a nice, honest person, you'll go to heaven. They talk about grandpa and grandma looking down on us from heaven because we love them so, and they were such nice people. Why, God wouldn't send someone like that to hell. No, the world thinks everybody goes to heaven except serial killers and sociopaths. But you'll be chained up, friend, in the darkness of hell, right next to the serial killer. If you die in your sins, I'm warning you, if you die in your natural condition, if you die in an unregenerate state, listen to me, friend, you must be born again, or you will not see the kingdom of God. That's not me talking to you. That's what Jesus says. Jesus said it. Listen, friend, if you're not born from above and washed in the blood, you bust hell wide open when you die, even if you are the chairman of the deacons. Most church members today are unregenerate individuals who believe they are saved, but they're greatly deceived. They believe they're saved because of a physical response they made to an emotional appeal years ago. They can look back on their life, maybe when they were young, where they did something. They remember a time when they walked an aisle, or they raised their hand, or they repeated a prayer to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Show me one verse, friend, in the Bible that declares you're saved by accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. It's not in there, folks. You don't know what's in the Bible because you never read it. You just parrot what some evangelist told you was salvation. You have no reality of God in your life. You know nothing of an experiential knowledge of Christ Jesus. You've never truly been born again and you've never truly exercised repentance toward God in faith in Christ Jesus. A true repentance means a turning from sin, a forsaking of sin, breaking off from sin. God's word in Proverbs declares, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." If you have a rotten spot in your life, friend, that you resort to for self-gratification, that you hang on to, you hug it fondly, that you refuse to give to God, then you are yet in your sins. Even if you sing like a bird in the choir, listen to me, you are a deceived hypocrite, described by the Word of God, who rests upon their own self-righteousness rather than the righteousness of Christ. The Word of God declares there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. God will never let anyone into his holy heaven while you still got a shotgun pointed at him. Listen to me, friend. True repentance means throwing down that shotgun rebellion at the feet of a crucified Christ, coming to him in faith and surrender to him. 80 years ago, a false gospel was birthed out of hell with the devil's doctrine of an only believed gospel that states repentance is not a necessary element to salvation, and many drank that down like Kool-Aid. You can be saved without repentance, but that's just hogwash and a lie from the very pit of a smoking hell. If you've never repented of your sins, you're still in them. And even if you've been a member of the church for 20 years, if the Spirit of God has never performed a work of grace upon your heart in regeneration, then you are merely a religious lost person heading for a devil's hell. Hear me now. You're either regenerate or unregenerate. Listen, friend, good people don't go to heaven. Only forgiven people get to go there. Do you have an experiential knowledge of Christ? Are you truly born again? Or are you just an unconverted religious person who was told by a minister that you were saved, but the Holy Spirit's never confirmed it? But turn ye, why will you die? Your problem is you don't believe in a God who will punish sin. You don't believe in a God that would send anybody to hell. Your God wouldn't act that way. Your God is not the God of the Bible, but an imaginary God of your own imagination, because God will and must punish sin. Jesus of the gospel has rights and claims on all true followers of his. The cost of discipleship is clear to the true believer. Jesus said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." There's no wiggle room in those verses, friend. How many pulpits in our church today still preach the doctrine of the cross in the life of a believer? How many pastors preach you must repent or perish? How many preachers preach that only the regenerate will go to heaven? All the rest will be cast into a smoking, bottomless pit reserved for the devil and his angels. How many ministers this Sunday will warn their hearers of a future judgment for all mankind, where every mother's son will face the bar of a thrice holy God and be held up against the strictness and severity of God's unbending law. And if you stand there, friend, in your own merits, you will fail that test, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You must stand there in the merits of another. You must be clothed with the righteousness of Christ, or you'll be found out by the King when he comes in and he asks, friend, where is your wedding garment? And if you are yet in your sins, strong angels will grab you, bind you hand and foot, and cast you into the lake of fire. But the gospel is for the hungry. The gospel is for the weary. The gospel is for the thirsty. Let me ask you, friend, are you hungry for God? Are you sick and tired of your filthy sins? Are you thirsty for Christ? Then come to Him in repentance and faith, and own Him as your Savior and Lord. Listen to His call to come to Him. I pray God's Spirit, friend, will attend God's Word, and you won't just hear the shaky voice of an old preacher talking to you, but by His grace, you will hear His voice as it comes to you in power, authority, and majesty. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.